Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. The opening song is Hosanna by the Wilmington Chester Mass Choir. Hope you're doing wonderfully well on this Palm Sunday. It is a Sunday morning. I think it is March 24th, 2024, and this is Palm Sunday. So I woke up this morning excited to share an episode about the resurrection. Well, it's not going to be about the resurrection. I'll do another one about the resurrection later on this week. But what I would like to do is to do an Easter series, starting with Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So this is what this episode is going to deal with, is Jesus going into Jerusalem. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and just go where the Lord leads in this episode. I think it is important as believers for us to continue to share the story of the crucifixion and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially in this day and age where we continue to hear so many different stories as the enemy tries to silence us concerning the important events in Jesus's life by muddying it with all this old news, old stories that they're coming up with, which I don't think that they're old. I think that they are new, coming from the enemy, trying to convince those of us who've been celebrating Easter all of our lives to all of a sudden be in doubt about what we were doing, you know, attaching the word pagan to every single thing that the Christians, you know, have been doing, all the different celebrations that we have had as a tradition all of my life, you know, all of my life, and then all of some other people's lives as well. But now we're hearing more and more that what we have been doing is sin, that God has not called us to celebrate his birthday, to celebrate his death, and this is all born out of pagan traditions, and we just piggybacked off of it as Christians, or is something that we're doing that is 100% sin, and that Christ is not pleased with us talking about the good news or talking about the crucifixion, talking about his birth. So I am not in that camp. I believe that it's important for stories to be passed down generation after generation. That's how we got the Bible. So if the historical characters or figures in the Bible had not written down or had not passed these stories down orally, we would not know it. We wouldn't have a Bible. So it is important for us to continue to share the story. As believers, we're not going to get caught up in what the world is saying concerning the way that we worship or we celebrate our risen Savior. So as long as I have breath in my body, I am going to share the story of Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to continue to celebrate his birth, but we're going to do his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. That story should never, ever, we should never stop telling that story. I don't care what they talk about, Easter this, if you want to call it Resurrection Sunday, do that. But do not get caught up in it's pagan. It's pagan. If you are doing this day unto the Lord, if you're celebrating Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and you're doing that unto the Lord, it's not pagan. Because you're doing it unto the Lord. So to me, it's holy. It's a holy day for us. And it will continue to be regardless of what people say. So I just need the believers to set it within their hearts that I'm going to continue to pass this story down. Don't ever let it stop. Don't. Because that is a trick of the enemy. So we're going to go into the Word of God. I'm going to start in Zechariah 9:9. We're going to deal with Jesus on Palm Sunday in the scriptures and what that is talking about there. So if we go to Zechariah 9 and verse number 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So here we have the prophet of Zechariah foretelling, prophesying about how the king will come, how the Messiah will come. So he said that we should rejoice, the daughter of Zion, Jerusalem, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass. So who satisfied or fulfilled that particular prophecy? That was Jesus Christ. So we're going to go over now to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to just read about Jesus entering into Jerusalem on, one second here to get to it. So Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord have need of them, and straightway he will send them." So Jesus has two disciples, and they're getting close to Jerusalem, not quite there yet. And he says, I want you to go into the village, and I want you to, and you're going to find an ass and a colt tied. I want you to loose them. And if anybody says anything to you, you just say to them that the Lord has a need for them. And when you say that, they're going to allow you to go ahead and take them. Verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. So this is talking about the prophecy that we just read in Zechariah 9 and 9. So Jesus told them to go get the ass, and so that it will fulfill the prophecy that we just read in Zechariah 9 and 9. So all throughout Jesus' life, he was fulfilling various prophecies about his birth, about his life, so that the people of God would know that this is the very Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the Anointed One, because he is fulfilling the words of the prophets. But even though Jesus was fulfilling the words of the prophets, many Jews did not believe. They had studied scripture, they had read scripture, they had grown up on scripture, but yet and still, as Jesus was fulfilling these prophecies, that wasn't enough for them to believe that he was the Son of the living God. Verse 6, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way." So now that they have the donkey, and they took off their clothes and laid on the donkey so that Jesus could sit on top of that. Then the other people, the crowd, they started taking off their garments and just laying them in the way. They were treating Jesus like royalty. They were treating him like a king. So as he entered into this city where he would die, they were treating him as if the king was coming in. They were treating him like royalty. Verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So they're saying Hosanna, which means save. or save us. All right, so it means save now or save us. Save us, we pray. So they're shouting for Jesus to save them. And they also use this as a phrase of praise. And we, especially in this day of age, this day and age, that's what we're doing. We're shouting it as a praise. So, verse 10, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now, I find that this particular, the way that he was identified, it just kind of struck me. Because you are calling him a king in one verse, and you're believing, or it sounds like you are believing, that he is the promised Messiah, he's the king. But then when the crowd is asked, their response is that he is a prophet of Nazareth. And it almost makes me believe that they really didn't believe that he was the true Messiah. Because if they did, it seems that their response would have been that he is the Son of the Living God, or he is the Messiah, he's the one that's promised, he's the Christ. But instead they said he is the prophet of Nazareth. So that just struck me there. I'm going to go on over to Mark chapter 11 and also read what Mark had to say, his version of the Palm Sunday version. So I'm going to try to move really quickly on my app here to get to it. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start reading at verse number 1. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him." So same thing that happened in Matthew, except we got a little bit of a difference here. We want to get a colt that nobody has ever sat on. That's interesting. So Jesus, in his instructions, wants the men, the disciples, to go and get an ass that nobody has ever sat upon. Now, just him. He's going to be the only one that sits on it. That's holy. That's been set aside for just him. It hasn't been defiled by man, but I'm going to be the first one to sit on that. That stands out for me as well. And if any man, verse 3, and if any man say unto you, "Why do ye this?" say ye that the Lord have need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye loosing the colt?" And they said unto them, "Even as Jesus had commanded," and they let him go. And they brought to the colt, and they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. So these branches are the palm branches that we are familiar with, the tradition, the Sunday tradition in many churches. The Palm Sunday tradition in many churches is to take palm leaves and to hand them out to the congregation. And they may do a dance or something like that in some churches, or they may say some words from Scripture. But this is from this part of Scripture where the people, the multitude, were taking palms, leaves and laying them out on the road for Jesus to pass. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, save. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So they're praising and they're blessing Jesus as he's moving through the crowd, moving along this royal path that they have laid out for him. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that is the Mark's version of a story. And we're going to now go over to Luke. And I believe it is in Luke 19. And we're going to read that version of it as well. See if we notice any differences there. So we're going to go to Luke 19, chapter 19, verse 29. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. So once again, same thing as in Mark 11. Now it's about a colt. Bring the colt that no man has ever sat upon. That's the same as in the previous gospel. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord have need of him. And they that was sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? Now in this version, it's the owners that are asking them, Why are you untying these colts? And they said, The Lord have need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So in this version, we don't hear about the palms being laid out, but we do hear why the people are giving Jesus praise. Verse 37 is telling us that they were shouting with a loud voice and giving God praise, giving Jesus praise, because they were rejoicing for all the mighty works that they had seen. So Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee, had done all of these miracles. And people had witnessed it. People had heard about it. So they're praising God for all the mighty works that they had seen. Verse 38, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So in Mark, he was a prophet. He was Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. And in Luke, he is the blessed. He's the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, prophet, king. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thou disciples. So to them, he was a teacher. He was a teacher. Okay, so we have prophet, king, and now teacher, master. And teacher is on a lower level than both of those in the eyes of these Pharisees. So to them, he definitely was no king. He wasn't even a prophet in their mind. And he wasn't worthy of the praise. What they're seeing to them, it seemed like So for them to watch these people give Jesus the praise that is due God, the Father, or the praise that is due the coming Messiah, you know, to them that was sacrilege. They had a problem with that. So he's like, you are receiving the praise that's reserved for the Father and that's reserved for the coming Messiah, which is not you. So you need to rebuke them and tell them to stop giving you this praise that you are not due. That's in the mind of the Pharisees. And so let me read it again, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So if I tell these people, the multitude, the crowd, if he tells the stones, if he tells the people to be quiet, the stones will cry out. So even nature knows who I am. And if I silence them, the praise is not going to stop because even the very stones would cry out, is what he was saying to the Pharisees. And when he was come near, he beheld the city of Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are held from thine eyes. Jerusalem did not recognize who Jesus Christ was, and that is the cause of much of their suffering, and it caused Jesus to weep over them. So we're going to go to one more scripture. One more to the Gospel of John, and we will be done with the Palm Sunday account. And I want to get there quickly. John chapter 12. And we'll begin to read. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So, this one is a very short account of it, and it just shows that the people had palm leaves, that Jesus did sit on the colt, but the people, it did not dawn on them that they were doing exactly what was prophesied in Zechariah to after Jesus had died. So they did not realize that they were fulfilling prophecy right in the midst of them fulfilling the prophecy. So I just want to go over the accounts of Palm Sunday and why we celebrate Palm Sunday in this day and age. I'm trying to get us to hold on to the story. So I'm recording the story, and I want you to get it into your heart and your spirit of what Palm Sunday is about. It is when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the back of a colt. And people laid out the red carpet or the green carpet, their clothes and palm leaves, and they shouted, Hosanna, save, save us, save now. And they believed. Some believed that he was a prophet, and some believed that he was the coming king, and others believed that he was just a teacher who was not worthy of that type of praise. Nevertheless, we know that he is the King, the promised Messiah, and the Son of the living God. And that's all I have for you right now. Please come back later this week as we begin to deal with Jesus's crucifixion, the trial, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. Have a great Sunday. And until then, grace, and peace.